Alright, I don't know what happened. Someone put some pepper or something that I'm caught in my nose. I don't know, I'm sneezing and stuffy all of a sudden, so. We'll see how this goes anyway. I thought about taking like a Benadryl or something, but I figure by the time it kicks in, it'll be done anyway, so it doesn't do me any good, so. We'll just suffer through. All right, why don't we pray if you'll join me again. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for an opportunity to be together, to gather, to just hopefully hear from you using those ears that you've given to us and just allow us to use those to the words that you want us to hear to penetrate into our hearts and our minds. We just pray that you help us to, again, just focus on what's in front of us and what's most important for our relationship with you. And we just thank you for all that you've done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to begin, if you would. Why don't you put your hands out for me? I know this is weird, but go ahead and put your hands out for me, and you're going to pretend. Actually, you're going to close your eyes, too. You're going to close your eyes, you're going to put your hand out. I'm not going to put anything in your hands or do anything weird to you, okay? But you're going to imagine that you have a lemon in your hand, okay? You've got this lemon, and you can feel kind of the coolness and the smoothness of it. We just took them out of the refrigerator, so they feel a little cool. And you can feel the little knobs or the bumps on each end of it, right? You can feel that, you know, you're sensing that. Now you're going to take a knife, and you're going to be careful, very careful here. You're going to take a knife, and you're going to cut your lemon in half, okay? No one cut yourself, okay? Be careful. You're going to go ahead and cut it in half, and you can feel, and you can smell the juices already, but you can also feel those juices start to run down your hand just a little bit, right? And so we're going to take one side of that lemon and set it aside and just take the one piece. And I just want you to hold that one half in your lemon, and I want you to smell it a little bit more, right? Smell that lemon, that citrus scent, right? And I want you to smell it just a little bit, but I also want you to squeeze it so you can feel more of the juices run down your hand. It's okay if it gets on the floor. It'll be fine. Just let that lemon juice drip down your hand. And now I want you to lick it. I don't have my phone out, just so you know, so you can go ahead and do this. Go ahead and just lick the lemon. Right. Okay. Anybody have saliva in their mouth right now? Anybody's like the back of my cheeks are kind of like tightened up and tucked. And anybody else doing that? You can open your eyes and put your lemon down. That's fine. But right. All right. You had a reaction, right? Your physical body reacted to that imagery in your mind. Right. If you did it with me. And it's interesting to me. And we know it does this, and we know our bodies work that way. But it's amazing to me how much our physiological and our physical bodies are impacted by our minds, right? And the way we view things, or if we're imagining or pretending something. We know very well, too, that, we know very well that stress and things that are happening in our life around us that aren't at all physically related will impact our bodies, right? We have maybe our backs are tight, or, you know, muscles are sore, or something is happening with our physical bodies. Because of the emotional and relational and things and other stresses that are happening around us. And it's just amazing, again, how tied those two things are. The things that happen physically and emotionally and vice versa, emotionally to our physically as well. And so as we get closer to the end, we've got one more week left after this week of this Road to Recovery. As we get closer to the end here, we're really going to be looking at this week and next week how to move forward with what we've talked about, right? And I don't know what you've done or considered over this last 6 or so weeks, where we've walked through some of these principles, if you've practiced any of this or done any of these things at all. But if you have, if you've seen and gone through some of these steps, you'll notice maybe some changes or some growth, some maybe recovery from different aspects in our life. And what we're going to look at today and next week as well is how do we keep going, right? How do we take what has happened, what we've accomplished, and how do we continue to move forward into our lives? Because really, if we're not at least maintaining, if we're not purposely trying to continue down this path that we've gone, there's spiritual growth or recovery from something, we're going to regress, right? And we'll talk about that here in just a second. But that's just our natural bent, is to go backwards rather than forward, or to maintain if we're not purposeful. And so this morning, I don't have my phone out yet here. This morning, we're going to look at, again, what's Principle 7. And Principle 7 tells us this. It says, reserve a daily time with God. for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. And again, such an important aspect, again, continuing to move forward in this world and in our lives. And as you maybe salivated or your lips puckered when we did the lemon exercise this morning, we know, again, the connection between our physical and mental, as Jesus says very clearly here as well. He says, watch and pray that you may enter into temptation, because the spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? And he's just reminding us that we may have all the good, best intentions. We may desire to do these things and want to do all these wonderful things with our life or with who we are, or change things about ourselves, but it's just so hard because our bodies just, physical bodies, even are to a certain extent, just the flesh in general, pull us and keep us back. So we have to be purposeful about how we move forward. We also are going to talk just a little bit, because this is, again, a recovery kind of idea of what a relapse looks like and what it means to kind of fall back or go backwards. And whether it's relapse, and we call it, think about, like, the alcoholic goes back to drinking, the overeater goes back to eating excessively, gains weight, the gambler goes back to the casino, the workaholic fills their schedule. We can look at those specific kind of addictions, but even just in spiritual growth, right? It's so easy to get excited and to grow and for things to change in our life, and then for us to just kind of slip back into old habits as well. And so there's four things, and especially that we kind of see happen when it comes to those kind of things. And the first one is complacency. And if you've ever tried to do something new or do something different, complacency is oftentimes where we kind of plateau, right? We start to tell ourselves, oh, well, it's just too much work, or it's too hard, or, I don't need help anymore. I've gotten as far as I want to go or can go, right? I talked a few weeks ago about, being able to lose some weight, and I still am fully convinced that if I really wanted to lose 20 pounds, and one of you guys is going to challenge me to do it, and I'm going to... But I'm not going to, because I don't have, right? I would be at the point where I'd be like, I'd lose the weight, and I'd be like, oh, I've lost this weight, I feel good. I'm just going to go back to my same habits and go back to eating my, my pizzas and my chips and my, sugary snacks and all that stuff. And, it's easy to just kind of plateau and get to a point where we feel better or things are going smoother or, we feel more comfortable or we feel better in some way and just be like, oh, I'm good and I'm okay where I'm at. And when we say I'm okay where I'm at or I'm good, and don't continue to kind of be purposeful about it, we're definitely going to fall back, right? We're definitely going to go backwards or back to the behavior that we had before. Another one is confusion, where we rationalize, this isn't so bad, right? We get to a point where we're like, well, what I did wasn't that bad, or where I was before, it's not that bad. And so we regress back to that behavior, realize that it was as bad as we thought it was to begin with, and so we have to figure out where we're moving forward. So we rationalize, we get that confused state of what it was really like before we started making those changes. We compromise, right? We return to the scene of the crime, as it were. We, go back to the fridge if we are someone who eats too much, or we go back to the casino, or we go back to the bar, or whatever it is. And we kind of put ourselves in situations where we're more easily tempted. When maybe we drew that line and said, I'm not going to go back there, or I'm not going to go here, I'm not going to do this. We fall into those situations and we compromise where we're at. And then a catastrophe is really, again, we've fallen back into this behavior, whatever it is, an addiction, a habit, something that we do that we know isn't good for us, isn't good for those around us. And something happens or we decide to fall back, and then all of a sudden we're back where we were, right? We worked hard for months or years or whatever, and then all of a sudden we're stuck again. And so we have to start kind of back over. So what do we do? What are some signs of this happening? You're going to have to excuse me. I have to blow my nose again. So if that bothers you, I'll turn away so you don't have to see that. All right. I promise that won't be the last time, so just prepare yourselves. All right. So what are some signs? What are some signs of this happening, of us falling back into these kind of situations or in our behavior? The first is, and again, this is for anything really, is we revert back to our own willpower. Well, I can do this. I can get this done. I can accomplish this. Galatians 3:3 tells us, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Right? And that's exactly what he's talking about. Is God is the one that helps us grow and changes us and pushes us to do things differently. And when we start to say, well, I don't like doing it that way, I'm going to do it my way, or we start to look at ourselves as, well, I've got this under control and I've taken care of this, we start to fall back, again, into the behavior and the attitudes that aren't good for us. It's again, what Paul calls the flesh, what the Bible oftentimes calls the flesh. It's that physical thing, those things that are inside of us, the human nature that we have, that if we continue to go down these paths and continue to say, I'm going to do it by my own power and my own will, is when we can maybe have some success, but that lasting long-term success just won't be there. And so we revert to our own willpower. Or we ignore God's process of recovery or growth. And to me, that's why we've been doing this series. Right? We've been looking at these principles, these steps, these things that we can do, these tangible things that we can do. Not because they're the only way necessarily, but to me, they're one of the best ways, and comes straight from the Bible, straight from what God tells us. These are tried and true things that I've seen work in my life, seen work in other people's lives, of how do we continue, how do we grow spiritually? How do we get out of some of these hurts, habits, and hang-ups that we have? And when we start to say, well, I'm going to do it my way, and I don't like step 4, so I'm just going to skip that one. I don't like step 7, so I'm going to ignore that one as well. And so we just kind of pick and choose what we want to do. And again, that's not the way growth happens. That's not the way we change. Galatians 5:7 tells us, you were running well. And who hindered you from obeying the truth? And so we slide back into poor habits and behaviors. We do things that, again, we didn't want to do, we wanted to get away from, but we're right back to where we started. And to me, this is probably the most important one here, is we try to recover without support, or we try to grow without support. I was on Facebook last week. I'm on Facebook too much, probably, but on Facebook last week, scrolling through to just, you know, especially after Tuesday and just seeing what people were saying and what was going on in people's minds. And there were a lot of people, it's not so much as many people as who posted some of this stuff. And they posted about how, you know, the image that comes to mind is they had the elephant and the donkey in the background, and then they had a lamb in front of them, right? And say, regardless of what happened in the election, the lamb, Jesus is still king, right, and still in charge. And again, it's not so many, and I saw several, again, people that surprised me that posted that. And my thought was, and I don't like to be pushy and stuff on Facebook too much, but my what I wanted to ask was, is where are you going to church on Sundays? I didn't do that because I don't want to be too rude about it, but because I don't know that they do, and I don't know that they're connected to a church. And again, it's great to, you know, have a relationship with God, and we have that kind of individually. But it's so, so important to have people around us that are helping us grow, right? Which is why I think, you know, and I talk about Sunday morning. I said this in Sunday school last week. It's great when we come together and we can sing some songs and, you know, participate in communion, you know, and you listen to me for a while and that kind of stuff. Those things are great. For me, the more important thing about our church and our gatherings is the relationships we have with each other. Right, that I get encouraged by you, by, you know, even just seeing your face or your smile or, you know, how you doing kind of a day, kind of thing. But to me, that community aspect of our gathering is more important than all the rest of it, right? Not saying that you're going to show up on a Sunday morning and we're just going to hang out and have a social hour either, but, you know, I think it's so important to have that support system, to have the people around us that are encouraging and challenging us. All right, turn your heads again. All right, so Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 tells us this. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and is nothing, not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And again, we see this in Ecclesiastes, we see this all over the Bible, of how much we need each other in the community and the support, especially for recovery kind of things, but definitely for our spiritual growth and maturity as well. And so we need to have each other. But the last one here is becoming prideful. Sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze. All right, becoming prideful. Pride, we know, gets in the way of just about anything, but especially when it comes to us changing, us growing, us recovering, pride is really our major downfall. It blinds us to our weaknesses. It keeps us from seeking help. It prevents us from making amends with others. And that's a big one, like we talked about last week, is we're going to... There it is. All right. Again, I'm sorry. We're working through this as best we can. Like we talked about last week with making amends, is pride gets in the way of us asking for forgiveness. Pride gets in the way of us seeking and forgiving those around us. And so pride is really the downfall of any kind of growth or recovery in our lives, right? The secret to lasting recovery, the secret to really spiritual growth in general, is humility, is really saying, I'm human and I'm frail and I'm broken and I'm messed up and I don't do everything right, and really saying I don't have it all together, and then seeking help from God ultimately, obviously, but also help from those around us as well, and asking for that help and that encouragement and that prayer as well. And so looking at all these things, what can we do? What can we do to move forward, to avoid setbacks and relapse? And the first one is evaluation. I appreciated Steve's community meditation this morning because that'll fit right in with what we're talking about here. But evaluation is really looking at where we're at. What have I done? Who have I hurt? Who have I wronged? What have I said or thought that doesn't fit in line with what God desires for me? Right, we see this in Lamentations 3, and I really like these verses. Starting in verse 39, it says, "Why should a living man complain, a man about the punishment of his sins?" But he says, "Let us test and examine our ways, and let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven." And so verse 39 tells us, it says, what do we gain? What do we get? When we complain about what's going on. And that's not to say that we shouldn't, right? Because we see in the Psalms, we see in all sorts of other places, David complaining, other psalmists complaining, telling us to complain and lament about what's going on in our lives and in our world. And so it's okay, and it's not wrong to complain about it, to lament about it. But what does it gain us, right? I mean, we can express it, we can get it out off our chest, but in the end, it doesn't necessarily change anything in our world. And so what he goes on, and then in verse 40, he says, well, what we should do is test and examine our ways. Look at ourselves, look at your life, look at what we've done, where we've been, and how we've gotten to this point. And when we examine and test our ways, we return to the Lord and lift up our hands in praise and worship. And to me, these verses fit so well, because so often we like to complain, right? About my life situation, my circumstances, this country, you know, what happens and what's going on around us and all these different kinds of things. We complain and we lament and we whine about it. What are we doing about it? What are we doing to change it? And, you know, none of us have the individual power to change big things in this world. But we can focus on ourselves and what we can change in our lives and our hearts, right? And so we look at our world, we complain, lament, whine about it a little bit. But then let's shift gears and start to say, well, where am I at? How can I impact and change the things that I'm doing or thinking or saying to change what's going on and what's happening around us? And we struggle, right? Just as a culture in general, we struggle with that idea of how do we examine our ways. It's a lot easier to look at them or look at her or look at what's going on around us. Excuse me again. A lot easier to look around the world at the people around the world than to look at ourselves and to focus on where we're at and what we're doing. And so how do we do this? How do we shift? How do we change our viewpoint rather than looking at the world around us and looking at ourselves? Well, there's kind of four areas, right, that we can look at, the physical, the emotional, the relational, and the spiritual. And we already talked about how these all impact each other, right? How my physical and my emotional state, and then it will impact our relational and our spiritual state as well. And again, looking at ourselves, and we can say, well, what physical things are happening, right? Am I, what, you know, what kind of pain or stress or tightness or whatever else is happening to me physically that impacts then the environment around me and those around me. To me, the emotional side of it, and I was going to go into more detail, but I won't. There's this heart checkup, H-E-A-R-T. H-E-A-R-T, this heart checkup. And it's, am I hurting? Am I exhausted? Am I angry? Am I resentful? And am I tense? And again, that's tied to the physical, obviously, too. Am I hurting physically? Am I hurting emotionally? Hurting, exhausted? Am I just tired about something? Am I just tired in general? Might be a sign that we need to look and check into things. Am I angry? You know, why am I angry? What's going on? Am I resentful? Who am I upset with? Who am I maybe jealous or angry with as far as that goes? And then am I tense? You know, what kind of tension do I have in my heart and in my mind that impact, again, the relational side of it? And that goes, again, into the relational, which ultimately goes into the spiritual. Because really the spiritual is the relational side that we have with each other and then our emotional state and how we relate to God. And so we're evaluating those things. Again, we struggle with that as a people, as a culture. But if we're able to do it, if we're able to be honest with our evaluation of ourselves, it's so much easier to move forward. And especially to do this next one, which is meditation. And meditation, again, is a little bit what Steve was talking about here too, is we evaluate, we look at our lives, but then we sit and we just kind of figure that out. Why am I doing that? Why do I feel this way? You know, asking God to just allow myself to release some of those things, to let go of some of those things, to be able to relationally connect with people better. And, you know, meditation's kind of been co-opted by some other groups in our culture, but it's a really good biblical Christian aspect to our lives that we should spend the time. And the problem with our culture is that busyness has really negated meditation, right? It's so much easier not to have to think about where I'm at and what I've done or what I'm doing, and to just keep busy and just keep active and just keep doing. And I can do that really easily too. But also I know that there needs to be that time where I'm slowing down and sitting and reflecting on where I am and what's going on in my life and in my world. Henry Ford once hired an efficiency expert, you know, in the Ford Model Ts and all of the Ford Motor Company and all those things. He hired this efficiency expert to check out how efficient his factory and his business ultimately was. And when this expert came back to him, he said, everything looks really good, except for there's this one guy. And this one guy, every time I went by his office, he was just sitting there with his feet up on his desk. And this efficiency expert said, he is wasting your money. He is wasting your time and your money. And Mr. Ford said, well, you know what? That man, he once had an idea that saved this company millions of dollars. And I'm pretty sure at that time, his feet were exactly where they are right now. And so there's value in slowing down and in considering and thinking and evaluating where we're at and what we're doing. And as busy and, you know, as good as it can be to do things and to be active and to be moving and helping people all the time, it's so much more valuable for us to spend that time in meditation, which brings us to prayer. And obviously that connection and that time with God can't be replaced by anything that we do otherwise. And we really need to spend, again, I would say we all need to spend more time, right? You could spend 23 hours a day and you could spend more time in prayer, kind of a thing, but we all could spend more time connecting and relating and talking with God, especially when it comes in terms of our own evaluation and our own meditation of who God is and what He's done for us and where we're at and moving forward. We have the Lord's Prayer, right, this is everything you should pray, but more as a model of how you can pray and the things that we have, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, that goes back to one of our first principles, right? Where it talks about, and you can't read that, so that's worthless, but that goes back to our first principle of God, realizing we're not God. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. You know, we talked about committing our lives and our care to God's will and control. Give us this day our daily bread, right? We said, God, you're able to take care of us and provide for us, so we're going to ask you to do that. Forgive us our debts, forgive our debt as we forgive our debtors. And again, we talked about last week, how do we forgive and make amends? And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we talk about this morning, how do we avoid the things that draw us away from Him and how do we move forward well? And so really this model of the Lord's Prayer fits perfectly in line with these principles that we've been talking about and how we can, again, move through this process to move forward well. But again, taking that time, slowing down in life, is essential to how we move forward. This isn't tea. I had tea this morning I was practicing with, but if you imagine, you know, you have a cup and you take your tea bag, right, the little tea bag, and you just dip it in the water, you know, there might be a little bit of tea, a little bit of tea in that water. It'd be pretty weak, right, and that's not, you know, no one wants that. But, so you might dip it in there, here and there, and a little bit, and just get it kind of wet and soaked, and it might penetrate a little bit and get in there a little bit. And we do that. That's really what we do with God's Word, with our prayer time, with our meditation. A lot of times it's just dip. I'm just going to put a little bit in. I'm just going to dip my tea bag in a little bit. And what God desires for us is to take that tea bag and just get it in there and keep it in there and let it soak in there. And all that water, you know, taking out those flavors and the things from that tea to really infiltrate into that and make that water not just dirty looking, you know, yellowish water, and make it really that tea that we desire to have. And that's really what that meditation is, right? Soaking that tea bag, getting it really in there and allowing it to sit and just soak up those kind of things. But we, again, have to be purposeful about how we spend that time and allow God to, again, speak to us in that time as well. And so, again, I don't know where you're at and what you've done as part of this process and the steps that you've decided to take or not take. But I really encourage you, if nothing else, really spend that time to think about examination, meditation, and prayer, because that is going to be essential for how we move forward and how we continue to grow and learn in this life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you that despite my limitations and my sinuses this morning, that you can still speak to us, that you can still allow us to hear and know you a little bit more. And I just pray you help us to really be focused on not being busy or being active, as good as that can be, but to really have that time of slowing down, of spending time with you and just knowing who you are, what you've done for us, and how we impact our world around us, and how we can maybe change or shift some things in our world to be even more of a servant of you. Praise all in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Worshiping, come on up.